The date is the 6th of June 2014. We are talking to...
Walter Gumperidge.
When were you born?
1st of March 1933.
And where were you born?
In Münster, Westphalia, 50 kilometres from the Dutch border.
Tell us about your family.
Well, father, mother, sister 1 year older than me, so she was born January... She was born on the 25th of January, if that strikes a bell with anybody in Scotland.
Right. Burns night.
Yes. Now, you want to know when I was born? I was born the 1st of March, which is also an interesting date in Britain, because that happens to be St. David's Day, who happens to be the patron saint of Wales. So when I was at school, and they asked me in grade 6, what's your name? I said, Walter Gumperidge. Don't you have a middle name? I said, no, I don't have a middle name. She said, well, you, teacher said, well, you have a middle name, you just don't know what it is. Home, ask your mother. So when I asked my mother what my middle name was, she said, you don't have a middle name. So I figured, if there's one thing worse than having my mother, the teacher think my mother's stupid, do stupid, give me a middle name. So finally, on the way to school, I thought, well, my Hebrew name is David Ben Shlomo, after my grandfather. So I got to school. Teacher asked me, and I said, yes, I have a middle name. And she said, what? I said, it's David. Oh, she said, I should have known, because you're born St. David's Day. So I went home, told my parents that I was born St. David's Day. That was the reason I was named. Yes. They thought that was... Yeah. So anyway, that's my name, Walter David Gumperidge.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
One sister, 1 year older than me.
What was she called?
Brigitte, then now became Bridget. My name was Walter all the time, anyway. Uh-huh. And then, since she's lived in Israel all her married life, since 1953, she is Gita.
And what did your family do?
My father was a grain merchant and imported grains, and that's why I later was familiar with the Winnipeg Grain Exchange. I mean, I'd heard of it after, it was in Germany. But distributed them in Westphalia, Rhineland, and parts of Germany.
And did you go to school in Germany?
No, I didn't, because when I was due to go to school, it was too dangerous to go to school. My sister had gone to school the year before, but she didn't go to school the year that I was due to start either.
What happened in 1933 to your family?
Well, of course, the outstanding result was that I was born, obviously the highlight of the year, but also the fact that... 29th or 28th was when Germany became a dictatorship, and at that time things changed drastically, and a lot of Jews realized that, I mean, they were anticipating that if this happened that life would become untenable, because the party that came to power, took power, had outlined a program of anti-Semitism. It was quite extreme. It was so extreme it was unbelievable. But it rapidly became known that it was believable, because laws started to be passed. And one of the first was that Jews weren't given Bürgerschaft, or citizenship, and so I was one of the fortunate ones that was not given citizenship, German citizenship. And I was stateless until 1948, when German Jews in Britain were allowed to apply for British citizenship, and my parents did, and your parents probably did as well, I'm sure, and became British subjects and citizens. So that was the first, and so then all sorts of things happened. I mean, my father couldn't, I think it was a couple of years after that, but 1936, 37, that the idea was to isolate Jews, and so Jews weren't allowed to do business, and non-Jews that did business with Jews were listed and publicized, Germans wouldn't do business with them. So it was completely impossible for Jews to do business with non-Jews, okay? And since the farming public were almost entirely non-Jewish, my father was basically out of business. So for the years, 37 and 38, and he did absolutely no business at all. So it was... He's tried to, and in fact one of his business associates left for Chile, and that's where we eventually got papers to immigrate to Chile.
How long did that take?
I don't know how long when my father first applied, and you know, because I say I wasn't privy to that information. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was 6 years old when we left. I was born 33. Consequently, but
did you go to school?
No, no, I didn't. I say it was too dangerous to go to school. Oh yeah, well, my mother. Okay, so when it was 1936, I believe, the Jews had to sell their cars for 1 mark because that was legal tender. Okay. So my mother, 2 weeks before, she had a nice BMW, still made with 3 Series. Mm-hmm. It was the first year, 1936, that was made, and that's when she got it. My father bought it for her. So she went to the assistant police chief, who she went to school with and knew personally, and said, because the police force were going to get this car, and it was a nice car, and he didn't have enough seniority to get it, probably. So my mother said, you can have it right now, on one condition, that when you're at work, and the police station was only 2 blocks up the road, Begavener Straße, where we lived, you can have it right now. So he said, fine. Well, it sort of helped him a little bit, because he felt a little better, you know, at least he'd been given it. I mean, even though, you know, it was still stealing, but nevertheless. So my mother had the use of the car. And so my mother had the Deutsche Sportabzeichen, which is a precursor to the Olympics. It was a sports medal that's usually just for professional athletes, but my mother was an athlete. And it's an engraved medal, and she made a point of wearing it. So she was driving the car downtown Munster, and she was stopped by a Nazi who came out from the pavement, stopped the car. And as he approached the car, my mother preempted and said, what do you want? And he looked at my mother, and he saw the Sportabzeichen, and he said, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. What? So my mother looked aside, and she saw in the doorway of hidden was a local Nazi who had told this guy, she's a Jew, stop her, she's illegally driving a car. But when this Nazi saw the Sportabzeichen, he said, well, every German knows that Jews aren't athletes, and having a Deutsche Sportabzeichen means you're eligible for the Olympics. He can't be Jewish, okay? So he apologized profusely and let my mother go. Well, this is sort of the thing. So you're wondering if a Jew just could walk downtown. He'd never know when he would be accosted and said, you're doing something wrong, doing this wrong, and they had no rights in the law at all. Mm-hmm. They had just no legal rights in Germany, period, being Jewish, you know.
Can I ask what type of athlete she was?
Decathlon. And so she did swimming, high jump, cycling, and long jump, I know, and sprinting. So it was a mixture.
And was she in the Olympics?
No, she wasn't allowed. She was Jewish. What do you want?
So she wasn't allowed. Well,
okay,
to be.
So she was a member of a Preußischer Sport club in Germany,
right.
Okay? So, and I don't know whether it was 33 or 34, the government said, fine, if you want to compete athletic in any national event or get any funding or anything at all, you are not allowed to have any Jewish members. So what are the Jewish members supposed to do?
They formed their own clubs.
Right. But what could they do? We did, in fact.
Nothing.
My mother did form, and my mother and father did form Munster Club, but it was just for Jews. So you had no competition of any consequence.
So your mum is feeling pressure, your father's feeling pressure, and they've got the papers to go to Chile.
Not yet. So my father was interned in the Munster prison, right?
Was this after Kristallnacht?
Yes, yeah. Kristallnacht was November 9th, 38. Mm-hmm. We're now in August of 39.
So they were arrested in Kristallnacht?
No.
My
dad was arrested early August of 39. Oh, you see, my father had an Iron Cross First Class in 1916. In 1916, it was still worthwhile getting an Iron Cross First Class. Latterly, towards the end of the war, basically, if you survived the war, you were given an Iron Cross. My father made a point of whenever you went anywhere, you wore it, and that was respected. I mean, they couldn't just throw everything out, you know. They couldn't just say, well, Jews were given a different Iron Cross than regular guys, you know. So, and that's maybe a reason that maybe I could at least get around town. But, and he was fairly well known in town. So, anyway, my dad's in prison. And as I mentioned before, the prison, periodically the SS would come and see if the prison was full, in which case they'd take a load of men to the concentration camps. So that shows that, but the German police were used to say, no, no, the prison's lots of room, though the prison was absolutely crammed. And the reason they did that was the police knew very well that going to the concentration camp was not a good idea, was not a healthy situation, that there were people dying of all sort of diseases and whatnot, and they weren't just Jews at that point, there were also political prisoners that were in there. You know what I mean? Willy Brandt, you know, who became mayor of Berlin, he escaped because he was a socialist to Norway, and he didn't go there for the sheer hell and delight, he went because it was dangerous to stay in Germany, okay? And he left well before 1939. So anyway, so when my father had initiated the getting the papers to Chile through a friend of his who was there already, and my mother finalized it when she came to prison with the papers,